The readings are from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21, followed by Luke 4, verses 14 to 19. Romans 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not think you are superior. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it is dependent on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus rejected in Nazareth. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up and read to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Amen.
Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us not just to be hearers of your word, but doers also, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you once more, as I said. It's about 6 years, I think, since I last visited you. I've been involved with Christian Solidarity Worldwide for over 20 years. About 8 years ago, I was coming up to that time of life where I could retire from teaching. But I didn't want to retire fully. I wanted to go part-time. I asked my head teacher about it, and he said, "Yes, that's fine, Keith. Okay." And so there I was. And one morning I was praying, and I said something like this, "Lord, I've got all this spare time on my hands. What do you want me to do with it?" It's a very dangerous prayer to pray. I am not saying that God's guidance comes to me normally like this, but on this occasion something remarkable happened, because within 5 minutes of me finishing my prayer time, the phone rang, and it was a lady named Joan Rawlins. Joan Rawlins is my cousin, and she was the previous regional ambassador for Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Now, I would hasten to add, Joan never rings me. I ring her, but she never rings me. But on this occasion, she did. And virtually her first words to me were, "Keith, I can't cope with this work anymore. Would you consider taking it on?" And I thought, wow, when God speaks like that, you have to say yes. And so it's been my joy and my privilege to do this work and to visit many different churches of many different types around this area and to share something about the work of Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let me give you three questions. Okay, you're not shy. You're not shy, are you? Don't be shy, please. Please raise your hands. What percentage of the world's population would you say live in countries where there are severe restrictions on their religious freedom? We say 25% or 50% or 75%. 25%, anyone? 50%, hands up. 75%? 76% is the agreed figure. 76%. It's incredible. Think about it. China, India, Southeast Asia, North Africa, Mexico, parts of South America, all those little countries, Russia to a certain extent, if you're not Orthodox, all those countries that used to be part of the USSR, to the southern part of the Soviet Union as was, you will find severe restrictions on your religious freedom there. Second question, which militant group killed the most Christians in 2015? Al-Qaeda, ISIS, or Boko Haram? Al-Qaeda? ISIS? Boko Haram? Yes, it was Boko Haram. Just say 2015. The carnage continues, of course, as you're probably aware. And lastly, which is the most persecuted religious group by number in India today? Christians, Muslims, or Buddhists? Christians, hands up. Muslims, hands up. Buddhists, hand up. Well, it is, in fact, Muslims, because there are far more Muslims in Pakistan than there are Christians. And they do get hammered by the government, especially under the BJP, under Narendra Modi. Persecution is a fact of life for so many people around the world today. Jesus promised it. He said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. This is the reality in many of those countries. These are the forms that religious persecution takes. Isolation. If you become a Christian from another religion, you very often will be cut off from your friends and family. Discrimination. You will find that the best government jobs, probably a university education, things like that, they'll be closed doors to you. Harassment. You will find little niggling things, obstacles will be put in your way. Why did they stop me? Why did the police stop me at the roadblock? But they let all those others go through. Because you're a Christian, probably, is the answer. Imprisonment. Many thousands of Christians are imprisoned for their faith today around the world. Violence. Very often, when accusations are made against Christians, very often false accusations, there is the mob. And the mob inflicts violence and torture. Torture is often used as a means to try to get people to change their minds. You're in prison, just imagine the situation, and you appear before the governor, and the governor says to you, just give up this silly nonsense about Jesus and God, and we'll stop this bad treatment, we'll stop punishing you, and we'll even open the doors, and you can go free. Just imagine if you're put under pressure like that. The ladies in white in Cuba, a group of Catholic Christians, they're on their way back from Mass. And you can see on their T-shirts, there are the photographs, I know it's not a very good photo, they are in fact human rights workers who are imprisoned in Cuba. And on their way back from Mass, they are insulted, they have things thrown at them, sometimes they're physically assaulted. When Pope Benedict visited Cuba about 4 or 5 years ago, what did the Cuban government do? It locked them all up. And if you were a Catholic Christian, just imagine how painful, how sad that would be. You've been looking forward to the Pope's visit for months and months, and now you won't see him because you are in prison. Helen Bahani, Eritrea was mentioned by Janet. Helen Bahani, an Eritrean Christian, do you know what her crime is? She belongs to the wrong church. You would belong to the wrong church, actually, if you were in Eritrea today, because the Eritrean government says, if you're Catholic or Orthodox or Lutheran, well, you can carry on worshipping. We won't bother you. But if you're anything else, we'll come down on you like a ton of bricks. And that's what they did with Helen Bahani. She is a gospel singer. She released a CD of her songs. The government heard about it, and they imprisoned her. And those are prisons in Eritrea. The one of the hottest countries in the world, and you're locked up in a shipping container for 23 hours a day. Temperatures 45 degrees, even 50 possibly degrees Celsius during the day, dropping down almost to freezing point at night. She spent 32 months in those conditions. Millions of Christians around the world pay a severe price for their faith in Jesus Christ. Three other examples. Pastor Nadakarni, an Iranian pastor, he was condemned to death for apostasy because he was born a Muslim, became a Christian, became a very successful pastor in a city called Yasht in Iran. The authorities didn't like it. They brought him up to a trial. They found him guilty. They condemned him to death. He spent 3 years on death row in Iran. Newman Massey, you won't have heard of him, I don't think. Newman Massey, young boy, 14 years of age, lived in Lahore in Pakistan. One day, he went to the market. And when he got to the market, he met two rather undesirable characters. And they said, why are you here? Why aren't you in the mosque worshipping God? He said, well, I don't go to the mosque because I'm a Christian. At which point, they beat him up. Then they poured petrol over him. And then they set fire to him. 5 days after that photograph was taken, Newman Massey died. Maryam Ibrahim, you may have heard of her, Sudanese doctor. She was condemned to death for apostasy in 2014. But they said, because you got married in a church, you know, we don't recognize that wedding, because you're living in sin. That's adultery. So before we kill you, we'll give you 100 strokes with the cane, and then we'll kill you. Terrible situation faced by three people. Is God concerned? Well, of course he's concerned. Psalm 146 says this, the Lord upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. Go to your Bibles, read the Old Testament. The prophets are full of it. God's concern for justice. And Jesus' first sermon, recorded sermon, in the synagogue in Nazareth, he picks up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he says these words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Around about 30 odd years ago, our chief executive officer, Mervyn Thomas, was in Nepal. Nepal's been mentioned this morning. He met the police chief in Kathmandu. And the police chief said these words to him, you know, I'm surprised to see you here. You know, I daren't put a Muslim in prison, because the whole of the Islamic world would be up in arms about it. I daren't put a Jew in prison either, because they're very well organized. They know when one of their numbers in trouble, and they make life very difficult for me. But I can do whatever I like to a Christian, and no one says a word. And he thought, goodness me, this is wrong. Somebody's got to do something about this. And he thought of a verse in the book of Proverbs, which says this, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. So CSW was born as an advocacy organization. We're a voice for the voiceless in Iran, Sudan, Pakistan, and more than 20 other countries around the world. It's already been mentioned this morning where CSW works. We work in government. We work in the Palace of Westminster. And we're very pleased with people like Jeremy and others who support that work in government. We work at the UN. We work in the State Department in America. And well, until the 29th of March or whenever it's going to be, we still work in the European Parliament. And there our job is to name and shame regimes which persecute their religious minorities. We uphold what's called the FORB doctrine, freedom of religious belief. And that means that we will also support others of other faiths, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, you name it, Falun Gong in China, whatever. We will support others who are also persecuted for their religious faith. We don't have to believe their teachings, but we will support them because we believe That is what Jesus would do. Success. Well, we have had some great success at the UN. We're really thrilled about that. We were given consultative status about 18 months ago at the UN, which allows us to input into the General Assembly. And on the 18th of November 2014, we were particularly thrilled when the General Council of the United Nations said that the regime in Pyongyang, North Korea, should be brought before the International Criminal Court in The Hague. It hasn't happened yet, because we know that it's got to go to the Security Council, and we know that China and Russia will veto it. But it's a shot across the bows. That's what we're all about. How we regard John Bercow, I don't know if you're a friend of John Bercow. He's one of those Marmite people, isn't he? You love him or you hate him. John Bercow said this: I've had the privilege to work closely with CSW for almost a decade. During that time, I saw the difference they make to the lives of people suffering under intense persecution and oppression. And then he mentions a campaign we ran a number of years ago. He's not a Christian. I believe he's a Jew. I don't even know if he's a practicing Jew, but he is very supportive of our work. I go to an Anglican church, and about 4 years ago now, the previous Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, visited the Lichfield Diocese. And there were a series of meetings. One of them was at Telford in the International Centre there. And I attended it along with half a dozen people from my own church. And during the lunch break, I happened to see the Archbishop of Canterbury on his own in the exhibition hall. I thought, I've never spoken to an archbishop before. I'll go up to him. And I went up to him and I said, Archbishop, my name is Keith Davis and I'm the regional ambassador for Christian Solidarity Worldwide. And without a moment's hesitation, he said, you know that organization is held in very high regard in government. I said, well, thank you. Thank you for that, Archbishop. Don't mind, I'll quote you. I'm doing it this morning. When I think, though, about these people who suffer for their faith, I am reminded of those verses that were read from Romans. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, Paul says this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. It's the word Philadelphia, brotherly love. Now, it doesn't mean you ladies are exempt from that, okay? It's the love that we share as Christians. And I think they are my brothers and sisters, and I have a duty towards them. Well, that's about CSW. What can we do? Well, the first thing we can do is we can pray. Hebrews 13, verse 3 says this: continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. I've got a number of copies of our response leaflet in a booklet over there in the hall where you have your coffee. And inside, there's a prayer diary. We've had very informed prayers this morning, and I thank Janet for that. It's good, though, when we pray in an informed way. And please feel free to take one of these if you like. If we run out, I'll get some more and get them sent to the church. We can pray. We urge prayers for Meriam Ibrahim. And at the same time, we managed to get this onto the media channels. You know, it featured on more than 30 of the media channels. It was on BBC News, on ITV. You name it, it was there. And we were really thrilled about that. Because in the end, the Sudanese government caved in. And they released her. And now she's living with her husband and her young daughter, who incidentally she gave birth to, chained to a prison bed. She's living there in safety in the USA now. Another person very much in the news at this particular time, Asia Bibi. You've all heard of Asia Bibi, I'm sure. And we've been praying very much for her. And we are really encouraged when the Supreme Court in Pakistan said that the case against her was completely false, she was completely innocent, and she must be released. Please continue to pray for Asia Bibi, because she's in that situation where they won't at the moment let her out of Pakistan. Canada said, we will give her refugee status, we will give her asylum, but at the moment she's still stuck there in Pakistan. Our prayers mean a lot. We can pray. Secondly, well, you can give a gift. I'm not here on a begging mission. You know, I never, ever have asked a church to put aside its list of donors. But besides money, we can also provide encouragement. I'm going to leave this with David Buckingham after the service. Connect and Encourage contains the names and addresses of Christians who are imprisoned and also people who support them. And, you know, it's wonderful that we can send cards to these people. Maybe Christmas, maybe Easter, that time. I mentioned it during the children's talk. We can do that as a means of encouraging them. Pastor Omar Gude Perez, a Cuban pastor, was imprisoned. The authorities didn't like the success of the churches that he ran, how they were growing. And so they arrested him and put him in prison. When he arrived in the prison, they told him, just get used to it. You'll be here for 70 years. They fed him rotten food. They denied him medical detention. They did everything they could possibly do to wear him down. And in the end, he couldn't cope with it anymore. And he decided he'd just give up. He'd give up his pastoring to the prisoners. He'd even give up on his faith. Well, his wife came to visit him the following weekend. And he said to her, look, I've got something to say to you. And she said, hold your horses, or whatever they say in Cuba. I've got something to say to you. And she held up a card. She says, you know, I've just received this card. It's from a little girl in England. She's 6 years of age, and it says this, I have faith in you. She says, you know, I've got faith in you, and God's got faith in you as well. And with those words, he broke down in tears, and he repented, and he said, I'm carrying on. I must carry on. And meanwhile, CSW was lobbying very hard on his behalf, and we were thrilled when he was released from prison, and finally he was allowed to leave the country. And like Miriam Ibrahim, he's now in the USA, in safety with his wife and his two grown-up children. It's lovely to send these cards of encouragement. You might have a question, do they get them? Well, the answer is, as far as we know, they usually do. But if they don't get them, somebody along the line will get them and will read them, and they can be a challenge to other people as well. And thirdly, you can protest. I send letters, I send emails to various people. Sometimes it might be somebody in Parliament. Could be, well, if we're in this constituency, I'd be sending one to Jeremy, but I'm not. I send them to my MP, Fiona Bruce, who's very supportive, actually. I might send them to the Foreign Secretary. I might send them to an ambassador. I might even send them occasionally to a head of state, pointing out something which I've observed and saying, please, could you look into this, because this does not seem right to me. We urge protests for Pastor Nader Khani. And this really got about. And we got our American brothers and sisters to email the Iranian embassy in London. Do you know they had over 57,000 emails? It really messed up their system. And eventually, he was released in September 2012. One of the most moving things I've ever experienced as a Christian was going to conference in November of that year in London. And we were told to expect a surprise visitor, and who should come walking down the aisle in the afternoon session but Pastor Nader Khani. It wasn't a dry eye in the place. It was fantastic. But you know what the authorities did? Christmas Day, 2012, they arrested him and put him in prison for another year. That was their Christmas present to him. And in July of, oh dear, I'm losing track now, of last year, I think it was last year, it might have been the year before now, sorry, I have to check that, he was arrested again, and he's been put in prison now for another 10 years. Please pray for Pastor Nader Khani. He needs our prayers. Prayer, provide encouragement, and protest. Those are the three things I'd like you to leave you with. This lady as well. This is someone we can all protest about, Leah Sharibu. Leah Sharibu was abducted from Dapchi in northern Nigeria on the 19th of February last year. It's coming up to 1 year that she'd been held by Boko Haram. She was taken with 109 other schoolgirls from that place by Boko Haram. Five died in transit, and 104 of them were in fact released because they said, well, okay, we'll become Muslims. But Leah Sharibu stood firm, and she said, no, I'm a Christian. I cannot deny my faith. They said they were going to execute her in October of last year. They didn't do it, but now they've said she is our slave. She's our slave for life. Please pray for her. And there's something you can all do. And if you don't do anything else as a result of my talk today, I'd encourage you, can you sign a petition? Basically, it endorses what my T-shirt was all about, keeping children safe in school, and it's asking that the Foreign Secretary should act to bring pressure on the Nigerian government, which in fact is facing elections very soon, to act against Boko Haram and to get Leah Sharibu released. Please, please do that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity to share with the people here. And I pray that your mercy will be shown towards all who suffer in your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.